podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
You're going to go to Lawn today with Tim and Davo. I'm going the opposite direction. I've got friends from Sydney.
You have friends?
Yeah, from the down for the Oz Open.
Stop it.
And our kids have never met, so we're going to...
We're going to go up and
they've got a little boy, Ollie. He's like just turned one. Yeah. So super cute. And my girl's never met him. So we're going to do that. We're going to go to the aquarium. We're going to have a good time. Yeah.
Nice.
So it'll be lovely, right?
I thought you were going to go to the tennis. I'll be like, that is, you know, you'd do anything to get down there and get amongst it.
Oh, yeah. Except buy tickets. Surely there's someone we can call. So I did a bit of that, though, when we've obviously just come back from holidays and I did get up the highway a couple of times to Melbourne, right? And one of those, a couple of weekends ago, I went to go to my dad's place because he lives in Malvern, and we went on the highway on the weekend. It was a Sunday. And as I'm driving along, actually, I think I even knew beforehand, but I was like, The tunnel is open.
Yeah, the new one.
Right, and so just FYI, there are going to be people who drive to Melbourne every day for work or whatever listening right now that are going to go, yeah, idiot.
Yeah, where have you been?
Right, so I understand that. But as someone who's very like Geelong Lara, that's basically my little bubble. So going to Melbourne is probably a once every 2 or 3 months thing for me. Yeah, right. So okay, great. The tunnel's open. The girls have never, I don't think, driven through a tunnel.
Mm.
Not anything of note, and certainly not like the Burnley Tunnel, because who's paying tolls? Am I right, guys?
Everyone's paying tolls.
So I thought, hey, Dad's taking the girls. Let's go through the brand new tunnel, the Westgate Tunnel, because it's free on weekends in January.
Wow, yes.
I was like, this is going to be a fun little experience with the girls. Hey, girls.
There's rainbow lights in there.
Yeah, make a big deal of it, that kind of thing, right? And so I did. And so we're driving out and I was like, okay, I assume this is the lane I need to be in. It's barely confusing at all.
It's intense.
I just aimed for the big mouth thing.
Yeah.
This big frame thing. Yeah. You're like, as long as I'm going down there, I think I'm in the right place, The thing I didn't check was where it comes out.
That should have been the main thing. Jake, that was like,
doesn't it logically make sense for the Westgate Tunnel?
Yeah.
To start and end where the Westgate Bridge starts and ends?
Oh, so you thought you could choose either above ground to get to Todd Road or underground?
Yes.
That was your thinking.
Yeah,
well, so you've done no research. As they've been making this tunnel for years.
It's in the name, Westgate. Same as the bridge.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's the general area. It's like the gate of the west, you know?
It's
the west gate.
Yeah.
But it's our gate
it
to
should
Melbourne.
It should have been more explanatory in the title. It should have been like one side Westgate Bridge or something. Like,
yeah.
Start Westgate Bridge.
Isn't it like Westgate South or something? Isn't it something like that?
I don't think
City
so.
South or something like that?
Okay, it did sort of say, I don't know.
Something
was
about
half
South in there.
Like I said, it was quite overwhelming looking at all the signs.
It
and just
really
hoping
is.
Hoping to dear God that I didn't end up in Greensboro or something. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
So anyway, down through the tunnel. Hey, isn't this amazing? Girls, oh yeah, cool. Oh, okay, no, we're peeling off left. Okay, I'm pretty sure the bridge sort of does go sort of like to the right as you're going over. Okay, where am I? Where are we going? All right, and then there's a sign for Wurundjeri Way. And I'm like, cool, that's a point of reference that
yes,
I know.
Yes.
I can find my way back to where I need to be, which is like King's Way.
And Docklands is such a bustling community down there.
Oh, I know.
But you know that no matter what you find down there, it's going to be fun.
Two-lane roads are three-lane roads because you can drive on the footpath in Docklands because there's no risk of hitting anyone because nobody's there.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was like, all right, I'll go for Wurundjeri Way. But then the signs stop for Wurundjeri Way. And there's like, so I'm just like, oh God, I've got four lanes to choose from. I'm going to pick one. Right?
Oh, that's good.
And so I peeled off. And I didn't, there's one that's like, hey, no city access. This is basically to the port and this is for trucks only. I'm like,
okay.
Sick, that's not me.
Yeah, right? That always scares me. I'm like, what if I go down there? What will happen?
Took the next exit. And I ended up somehow sort of around Flemington area.
Wow. Okay. Because I haven't used it yet.
Yeah. So sort of there's a bit where you go under the bridge and can get onto CityLink.
Okay.
In sort of that Flemington area.
So we're in that Footscray Flemington.
Road. I think it's Footscray Road. Yeah. I think that's the exit I got off at anyway. So Waze, my maps, it's like, okay, get off and now get immediately back on because you need to go over the Balti to get to the other side of the city to go southeast. Yeah,
moron.
So I'm like, oh, God, here I am. So then I did, because I was like, well, I better go where it tells me to.
Yeah.
And then I sort of got into the turning lane to go back onto CityLink. And then I was like, oh, I don't think this is a good idea, but I was trapped by traffic. So I'm like, okay, I'm back on there. Right. And then so I'm over the Balti. And guess what the Balti is, right? It's tolls, but this time it's not free on the weekends.
No, it's not.
So now, all right, I'm here now. I'm paid for tolls.
So you've paid $18 to get in the same spot, basically.
Yeah. So then I bend back around, right? And then I'm like, well, I'm going all the way to Dad's. Stuff this, I'm taking CityLink the whole way. And so I took the tolls the whole way. I didn't go out onto Kingsway and Dandenong Road or whatever.
Mm.
And I went all the way. And then I got to Dad's place and was talking to her. I was like, so how does this work? Do I buy a day pass? Because I don't know how tolls work. Yeah. So I ended up having to pay for tolls because I was trying to give the girls a nice experience. They got to go through the Burnley Tunnel finally as well. The old tunnel and the new tunnel.
What a day out with Dad.
Cost me a goddamn fortune. And we're catching the train. Oh, there's no train!
There's no train!
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Yesterday, Tones and I got online and said, hey, I'm back in my home country, Australia.
Yeah, so she's not. She's back.
She said, one big show and I'll make tickets $10, 20th of Feb. But she wants to know, where is she going? And one girl is a super fan and she wants that town to be Geelong. She wants Tones and I here with a concert and we want to know exactly why. Her name is Abby Hodgson. She's from Drysdale. Good morning, Abby.
Good morning.
So when you saw this post, Abby, what was your first thought?
Oh, I need to get on and share this to all the people of Geelong and our community to try and make it happen here.
Now,
you got 7 days. The first thing that you did, it was you messaged us, you called us as well. Great choices. Great. First off, awesome. But you've also made a page.
Yeah, I've made a Facebook page. It's called Tones and I Come to Geelong. And I've already got just over 1,000 followers.
Yes.
Well done, mate. Well done.
It's buzzing.
Yes. Right. Very exciting.
Yeah.
And she said whichever region or town goes the hardest gets the show. So hopefully we can get some more numbers and get the show here.
Right. We're going to work out the best way for us to share your page so that more and more people. How are you then going to show her? Are you just going to share that group with her, that page with her, and say, hey, look, this is how many people? There's no, official place to make the most noise, as she says it.
Yeah, probably Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She has followed my page.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And she commented on one of my posts, I see you angels, which means
Stop
she has
it.
Seen it.
Okay, so she's on it.
How did that make you feel?
Yeah. Pretty crazy. I wasn't expecting that at all.
You're basically friends with Tones and I now.
Yeah. Awesome. But yeah, so she's seen it. She knows about us. We just have to continue to get the numbers up. There's a few other pages. Well, there's quite a lot of pages.
Mm.
And other radio stations promoting their towns and stuff. So
We don't care about them.
What we want to do, other people in Geelong might be thinking, I want to make a page too. But it's better if we just all collate ourselves onto this one page.
1,000%.
So, Abby, we're backing you. The page has been shared on Tones and I's post as well.
Oh, cool.
I just went and shared your page on all of her posts. So people can find it. We're going to pop it on our Insta. We're going to pop it on our Facebook. The thing is, she is not just coming and doing a little gig on the side of the road a la Mornington Peninsula Days, is she? Mm. She's bringing a full crew? Is that cool?
Yep, the whole crew. The choir, the band, the dancers.
Yeah.
The special effects, the fire, everything.
And when's she going to announce this?
Sunday.
Okay, so we don't have a heap of time.
No.
All right. She just did New Year's Eve Times Square. She's the real deal. We know Tones and Oliver, but she is huge internationally.
Mm-hmm.
She has been here not that long ago. Have you seen her live before, Abby?
Yeah, I got her to Bowen Heads in October.
Nice.
What?
The page as well.
Yeah.
But that was just an acoustic, an intimate acoustic show.
I was in Bowen Heads. So sorry, I said Torquay.
No, there was one in Torquay too.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Torquay was in January. Yes. I went to that one.
Yeah.
And Darwin Heads was October, which I also went to that one.
So this is what we want to say as well. We don't want people to be like, oh, you've already had it. So we're pushing Geelong.
Yeah, true. Very good, very good.
And it's the full show, so it's completely different.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
And just checking.
Since the acoustic one's only her. Yeah. Her piano player and her guitarist.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Abby, just checking too. You are a super fan, but there's no sort of court orders in place keeping you a certain distance from Tones and I, and we're just jumping on without checking that stuff. Is that doing due diligence? You're all cool to see her and be in the same space as her? Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we haven't checked that, to be fair. Yeah. So we are backing you. Don't let us down, Abby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened in radio. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. All right, mate. So what's the page called again?
Tones and I Come to Geelong.
All right, everybody, get on it. And if you can't find it, get on the K-Rock socials. Abby, great work getting this started, mate. And fingers crossed, we'll all be partying at a Tones and I gig on the 20th of February here in Geelong somewhere.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you.
All right. We might get an update. Keep track of it through the week.
Yes. We'll start stalking Abby so she knows what it's like.
wouldn't use the S word, mate. Let's get Tones and I to town.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
It's Tom and Loggy doing it for Mimosa Homes. And look, wild times last week down the Great Ocean Road, particularly around sort of Lawn and Wye River area. And you and I, fortunate enough not to be there at the time, but plenty of people were and, caught up in what happened.
It was absolutely frightening. Mm. It's so surprising that no one lost their life. Honestly, after seeing the vision, I was thinking, where is this going to go?
Absolutely.
And a lot of caravans and cars actually went into the sea.
Yeah.
Someone that was there on the scene and actually camping goes by the name of Kev Donnelly. And Kev joins us now. Morning, Kev.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good, mate. Now, you live in Newport, but this is your annual holiday that you go on down to Wye River.
Yeah, that's right. This is our third year heading down there in the second week of Jan. Yeah, it's a big, big part of our year, and we love heading down there, catching up with old friends and enjoying that part of the country.
Yeah, right.
So explain what Thursday was like for you.
Yeah. Wednesday evening, everyone knew Thursday was going to be a wet day. You know, we weren't too excited, but, you know, you get on with life, you play games in the caravan, and you just distract yourself as best you can.
Mm.
You know, the rain came in. We knew it was a long day of rain early morning to late night, but the forecast, you know, we were checking, it was 31 mil of rain, it said, on the bomb, but it was all day raining, which didn't raise any alerts for me. That's just a wet day. In the van in the morning, doing our thing, playing games, the kids were colouring. Then, you know, sort of thunder rolled in probably around 11, 12, and, you know, it started getting quite heavy and persistent. I remember popping out of the van at 12, having a quick chat with my neighbour, Adam, and he said, look, Kev, that river's after rising around a foot in the last hour, and that sort of perked my ears a little bit. I said, okay, I better look into this a bit more. Mm. You know, I had a chat with a few people around the campsite, and I was thinking, like, this is at the bottom of a big valley. Like, what's happening up in the hills?
Yeah.
So a few of us decided, okay, look, yeah, let's be a bit careful here and let's start packing up. And just in case, right, the high tide was 10 o'clock at night, the tide was going out at the time. So we were sort of given a bit of, advice from someone there that we should be fine. But still we said, okay, let's just pack up and I call it be hitch ready. So if something did go wrong, we can just drive out the gate.
Sure.
And literally within probably, you know, I was literally just starting to clean up outside, pack up a few bits, and I turned left up the creek, up the river. And I just saw the wall coming towards us.
Wow.
There was debris, trees, branches. Like, you know, it was, you know, I obviously never have seen anything like this. And I just ran to the van door and screamed at the two girls, run to my car. I just said, run. And the kids were screaming and crying because their mum went up to the laundry room, right? So they're worried about their mum. Where's mom? I said, mom's fine. I'll get her.
Yeah.
But obviously they were in shock. They didn't know what's going on. Then they obviously saw the water. They saw trees, branches. So I got them safely to the car, which was slightly on higher ground. And then I just turned back. I know I had a few minutes to get the car out of the safe for a few minutes. So I just ran up and down where I was shouting at everyone to run because people just did not see this. People were still quite relaxed as the banks were breaching. Wow. And, you know, I just started screaming as loud as I could to run and grab your kids, run, you know, evacuate. The site manager was there and he saw me and I just told him, mate, evacuate your site immediately, open the boom gates, get these cars out. And, yeah, that was sort of it.
Wow. So
within a minute of that, and I'm not joking, within a minute of that, there was another caravan floated into mine. A car started floating down. Oh, it just went wild from there.
Right. And so you were able to get in your car and out of the caravan park?
Yeah, I got out across the river on the bridge and went to High Ground Park there, and I just had some high vis jackets in the car, so I put that on and I ran back to the entrance to help get cars out onto the Great Ocean Road, because it's a busy road, so yeah. You know, I just sort of stopped a bit of traffic and I just shoved cars out of the campsite as quick as we could.
Wow.
And stopped people going in, just helped for a half an hour, I guess, until sort of the CFA arrived up and the SES arrived. And at that point, you know, I was seeing cars going underneath the bridge. I actually stood on the bridge for a minute expecting to see my caravan come floating past, but yeah. It didn't. It got stuck in trees. Yeah. My caravan got stuck in trees. Everything we had, you know, in the annex was just wiped out. So at that point, you know, the safety guys were there, the SES. I just said, let's get out of here. We're not adding any more value. Let's go to Lorne. And then we got to Lorne, and then we saw the bridge at Lorne was just about the top, and we said, let's just get to Melbourne. Let's get out of here.
Right.
So, I mean, luckily you had your car and, of course, your family were with you. But what did people do in that situation who their cars are either in the ocean or under the bridge or, you know,
underwater,
water, wherever. They've got no caravan. What were people doing, Kev?
People are running to higher ground. That was the first thing, is just get out of the way of the water. Mm. Luckily, you know, a few people, not everyone, but, you know, a percentage of the campsite had gone out to do other things. People went up to Lorne for lunch or Apollo Bay. So luckily, a few people were out of the site. People that didn't have anything, and there was many, they stood near the entrance. A lot of them went up to the Wye River pub and just sat and watched the ocean, the madness unfold around them. There was nothing you could do.
Fire,
you know, and locals are great. I went down on Saturday to try and recover what I could.
Yeah.
The cleanup is ongoing, a massive effort by people, as volunteers, as construction companies down there. It's amazing what's happening. And talking to people, there's some great stories coming out of it. You know, people are volunteering houses, Airbnbs are being given over for free to people. So there's great community spirit down there. Everyone is pulling together as best they can. So there is a small bit of positivity out of it, I guess.
So where's your caravan right now?
Yeah.
It's sitting in the big four. We went down there on Saturday and we emptied out what we could, what we could. You know, the kids were crying about the Christmas presents and the teddies and this and that. But the simple things, right, that sort of settles them down a little bit. We got what we could for the kids. We got their bikes back. You know, they lost scooters, you know, we'll get over that. But we got a few bits back, so that's why we went down, so we could get sort of a bit of closure as well. I think there's, you know, a lot happened on Thursday, so we went back and, the whole campsite was way worse than I actually expected.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to see what I saw on Saturday. It was annihilated. And that's the best way you can say it. It's just absolutely wiped out.
Yeah, it's so lucky that people were okay.
Yeah.
This could have just been an absolute tragedy. We had reports that Optus was not working at the time. Did that affect you or your family at all?
No, look, I'm a tester. Look, coverage is patchy down there at the best of times. My wife's with Vodafone. She's no reception when she goes down there. She actually likes it. look, there definitely was a lack of a formal warning system. You know, I'm sure people will look into it. You know, I felt like we just had to fend for ourselves for a little bit. You know, there was, you know, anything that came through formally was after the fact. You know, I remember looking at my watch when I started cleaning up, it was 1:04, and then probably at 1 o'clock or even a minute or two before, it was all over. It started. Warnings are no good an hour later.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. And what about the fact that, I mean, there's a bit of talk around that there's, you know, compensation's been announced for people or, you know, packages or you know, grants to help people who have been affected, but they're only for residents. And in these downpours, it's been mostly tourists who've been affected. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, look, I did hear about it yesterday. I saw a few texts flying around and I was a little bit surprised. Of course, locals are affected and they should be compensated, but there isn't many, I believe. you know, I went on Saturday, we met a couple and their two young kids. They started their lap around Australia. They're from Queensland. Their van is destroyed. You know, they're just sitting there wondering what to do. Luckily, they have, I think Airbnb has given them a free house in Wye River. So that's obviously right. for a period of time. It's not forever. So he's trying to figure out what to do next. So I think there is a need for some sort of compensation for people that are affected. You know, obviously it can be challenging to organise and manage that. But yeah, I think people like that family I looked at or I chatted with on Saturday, sorry, like they need the compensation.
Yeah. Well, Kev, look, I'm so glad that, or we are so glad that you and your family are safe and, and you know, sorry about you, to hear about your caravan, but glad that you were able to sort of get out in there and get home. You say you've been back and you've had a look at the park now, and there's a whole heap of work, a power of work that's been done by a lot of people to get everything sort of back on track. I'm booked to stay there in the last weekend of February. What do you reckon my chances are of actually being out of camp there at that point?
Well, when I was leaving, driving out the gate, I spoke to the staff and I said, hey, when do you think you're going to reopen? And he said they're pushing for the end of January.
There you go.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, obviously touch base with them, chat with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it won't be the same. You know, it won't be the same. It'll look very different. But, yeah, they're positive. You know, it was funny. We're cleaning up and we're doing our work down there, and their little bar, their little trailer was open.
Yeah.
You know, it was unaffected, and they're giving us a few free beers. You know, the people stood around there having a laugh, and you know, you have to have a laugh, really, don't you? Sometimes you need to shrug it off.
Yeah, for sure. Well, mate,
I think you'll get down there, so enjoy it.
I'll definitely get in touch with them. And as we have been saying too, the businesses that are down that way, that are open, they need our support. So everybody else, sort of do your best to get down there and support them. Kev, once again, so glad you're safe, mate. And thanks so much for your time this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.
The Tom and Lockie Podcast. Lock in 95.5 weekdays from 6 a.m. for more K-Rocky goodness from your favourite breakfast show. Goodbye.